Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti, and I'm here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Good, Steve. And we're back here for another Saturday night of teaching. And always good to be back here, and hope you had an awesome Sabbath day and an awesome Lord's Day coming up.
Amen.
And we're here today to do another teaching from God's Word and to kind of dissect through some of the things we've been talking about and refreshing your memory on some of it and trying to explain some of it. And it's been, you know, Stephen and I were talking about this a couple of days ago, that it seems like this year on our program, the Lord's been really directing us to talk about the basic proclamation of the gospel and being empowered by the Holy Spirit and emphasizing Jesus and the crucifixion as our means of salvation, and not dwelling on things that divide Christians among themselves. And I think it's kind of been going on the whole year.
Yeah, it really has. And it kind of just started out with, you know, talking about the gift of grace,
yeah,
which is the name of the show. And
oh, I must be tuned into the wrong show.
Which, what have you been listening to? but anyway, that's a different subject. But it kind of started out with the gift of grace. And what is this? What is this gift of grace? You know, it's really from Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, where it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you. It is the gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast."
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, the Lord has really taken us through, you know, the covenant of law,
mm-hmm.
the covenant of grace,
mm-hmm.
and the transformation that really takes place when the Holy Spirit takes a hold of our life, when we surrender and ask the Lord to be Lord of our life and surrender to the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And when we do that, we make room for God in our hearts, and our hearts can become that good and fertile soil. And I know last Sunday, one of the gospel reading in the church was the parable of the sower.
Yes.
And how the word of God is the seed that falls on the ground, and the ground is really our heart. And is our heart good and fertile soil? Has mm-hmm. it been cultivated?
Yes.
Or is it rocky? Is it hard? Is it encrusted because of, like, maybe bitterness or unforgiveness?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And those things that take place in our daily lives are where we have to really come before God and say, Lord, I need your grace to get through this.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the grace to forgive. Give me the grace to love, and help me, you know, help me through this. And it's a turning to God in all aspects of our life where we encounter the grace to do that.
Yes.
You know, where Paul says, He received an angel of the flesh
mm-hmm.
to beat him and keep him from getting
him. Yeah.
Tormented him and to keep him from getting proud. And he's asking the Lord three times to take this from me. And God says, my grace is mm-hmm. sufficient for you, mm-hmm. for in weakness, power reaches perfection.
Yes.
And it kind of brings us to a place of, who are we in Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And when we put on the mind of Christ, when we allow the Holy Spirit to transform us, you know, in Galatians 5:22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, mm-hmm. peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Mm-hmm.
And the other attributes that we as humans have are those of the flesh. And in that, you know, we've talked about who are we in Christ, and also as adopted sons and daughters, who are we in the kingdom of God?
Yes.
And the riches that God wants to pour out upon us, he wants to empty the storehouses of heaven upon
mm-hmm.
us
mm-hmm.
because he's already given his son.
Yes.
As a ransom for our soul.
Yes.
So there's nothing he's going to withhold.
That's right. That's right. And it's interesting that you say that, because as we've gone through this year, we're already in the middle of July.
Yeah.
You can't believe it is
fast.
Pretty remarkable. But as we've gone through this year, as you said a minute ago, we started out explaining the covenant of law and then the covenant of grace, and how the plan of salvation unfolded through the Old Testament, and how the covenant that God made with the people, the Israelites, was one of law. And then through the sacrifice of Jesus the Messiah, we come into the covenant of grace, which is now open to everyone, including Gentiles, and the Holy Spirit is poured out on everyone, including Gentiles. And as you just said, the you know, the Spirit's poured out without measure. There's no limit to the gifts. There's no limit to the blessings. Nothing is being withheld from us now, because of what Jesus did. We're all adopted sons and daughters of the Father, and we are heirs to that.
Right.
You know, Paul writes in Romans and also in Galatians that we are heirs to the glory that Christ even has. He's the true son. We're the adopted sons and daughters.
Right.
But because we're adopted sons and daughters, we're heirs to all that.
Right.
And so you're absolutely right. It's things are poured out without limit, without restriction, without any, I mean, it's not rationed.
No.
It's, and here we are. And, you know, we've talked many times about, unfortunately, and, you know, in many of the churches and, you know, through big areas of Christianity, people don't really take advantage of that. They don't open themselves up to the outpouring of the Spirit, and they don't really realize that that power that you see manifested in the book of Acts is still available. The Holy Spirit hasn't changed. And people who are following Jesus and preaching the word and preaching the kingdom and serving him are still able to receive those gifts and that power to further the kingdom.
Right.
And these are kind of the things that we've talked about as we've gone.
Yeah. And God still gives his Holy Spirit in full measure.
Yes.
It's not like it's a, you know, it's a natural resource that's going to run out. You know,
that's
the Holy Spirit's like eternal. God's eternal.
Yeah.
So these graces are eternal. And as you're talking, you know, I'm just recalling that God meets us where we're at. You know, when I was away from the Lord and I was walking on my own path, you know, we've talked before about how when I was in Cancun, you know, the Lord rescued me from going out to the water and not knowing how to swim.
Love that story.
And I'm glad I only had to do it once.
Yeah. Don't try it again.
No, I'm not going to. But in that, and then how years later, the fullness of his Holy Spirit was poured out upon me like 7 or 8 years later.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is so amazing to me is that even though, and God knows everything, he's eternal. He knows what we're going to do tomorrow. Mm-hmm. He knows what we're going to do, you know, 10 years from now. And even in that, he pours out his grace upon us in abundance.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though, you know, there's times in my life where I've fallen and I've sinned and I'm like, you know, I feel bad about it. I repent, but I've come to realize that God knew I was, you know, God knows everything, and he chooses to love us to the full.
Right.
Even though we may not be faithful to him all the time.
I thought you've been being pretty good the last 6 or 7 minutes we've been here.
Well, yeah. The last 6 or 7 minutes have been pretty good.
Yeah. It's doing a lot better, folks. Let me assure you. and we you know, we talked about how, you know, that early group of believers, the people in the upper room that directly experienced the Pentecost outpouring, and then the people that experienced it later, and that those people then laid hands on others who experienced it, and the church grew, and the Holy Spirit just brought a new fire and a new transformation into all these people.
Yeah.
And it, you know, if you've listened to this show more than twice, we like to talk about our friend Peter, who got totally transformed by the Spirit.
Yes.
And all those guys did. And they were then able to understand the word. They were then able to understand how the plan of salvation had unfolded, what the prophets had said about the Christ that was coming. Then, you know, they immediately understood that the things that Jesus told them over the 3 years that they spent together suddenly all came together in their minds.
Right.
And that first community of believers just went out and started to impact the world in such a powerful way. And as we mentioned, they didn't have radio shows, and they didn't have email, and they didn't have internet, and they didn't have radios and TVs. I mean, these people just went on foot or on horseback,
mm-hmm.
or maybe on chariot, or maybe on some boat, and went from place to place, preached the gospel,
right,
and people came into the kingdom,
right,
Gentiles as well. And then when Paul was brought into the kingdom, you know, his zeal to preach the word just really didn't know any bounds. And he became and he became the apostle to the Gentiles, and yeah. you know, this the word of the kingdom just spread throughout the whole known world of the time.
Yeah. You know, almost like you see a fire in the wilderness, and yeah. it just starts to spread, and then it becomes this wildfire. And that's kind of the image you have of the kingdom, the Holy Spirit spreading the gospel.
Yes, exactly.
And it, you know, through the Holy Spirit. And we kind of, you know, we've kind of seen over the course of time, and we've talked about it on the show, is that how God reveals himself to his people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by the Spirit that he reveals himself, through the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus said, you know, the Spirit will guide you and remind you of all that I have taught you. Yeah. He will lead you in all truth.
Right.
And I think this is something that we have to remember as believers, is that it's the Spirit of God, it's the Holy Spirit, that will guide us and lead us in that truth.
Yeah.
And it's the fullness of, you know, Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, he came to restore that broken relationship
yes.
with the Father.
Yes.
That Adam and Eve enjoyed in the garden.
That's right.
Until the fall. Everything goes back to that garden. That tree. And as you always say, two gardens, two trees. And in that, we see the fullness of what Yeshua is talking about.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
To be in the fullness, to be in the presence of God. I know that in worship, you know, to be in the presence of God and to feel the weight of God's glory mm-hmm. and the heaviness mm-hmm. of God's glory mm-hmm. is an awesome experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it usually changes and transforms people when they experience and encounter that.
Yes.
And for those who have experienced it and they're really not, you know, for the first time,
right?
It is such an experience that it changes them.
Yes.
You know, they know they've encountered God, and they
everyone is astonished.
Yeah. And yeah. they just see things in a different yeah. perspective from there.
And when you mentioned, you know, you used the word truth two or three times there, which is really kind of an important thing when you think about those first believers. When the Holy Spirit falls on them and they realize now that this is all true, that the Spirit of truth has enlightened their mind to understand that this is all true, they have this incredible zeal to preach it to everyone. They want everyone to know about it.
Yes.
And did they encounter opposition? All over the place.
Exactly.
And almost all of them were killed.
Mm-hmm.
But the opposition didn't stop them. And, you know, we talked about Peter and Paul and, you know, all the other ones went, and the government opposed what they were doing, and the religious leaders opposed what they were doing, and they were accused of breaking the laws, and they were accused of breaking the law of Moses, and they were accused—I mean, they were accused of all kind of things. But they kept preaching because they knew that this was the truth,
right?
And that this truth was more important to them than their lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many people say, "Oh, you know, those guys just wanted to have their own religion, so they kind of made this all up." And
yeah.
Well, you know, it's kind of fun to make stuff up as you go, but then mm-hmm. when somebody is threatening to kill you, you don't usually die for something that you know you've made up.
Right.
They would have said, well, wait a minute, before you go on with that sword, let me tell you something. We made it all up.
Yeah.
They were willing to die because the truth and the salvation of others was more important to them than mm-hmm. their life.
Yeah. I don't think there's anybody that would carry out something that they've made up and be willing to die for it.
Exactly.
In that regard that you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, again, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, who was the strict Pharisee, zealous for the law, Pharisee of Pharisee, Hebrew of Hebrews, who became the apostle of grace, the apostle to the Gentiles, he was so transformed that he then goes and says, you know, nothing, none of that stuff matters to me anymore.
Yeah.
I count it all as loss. It's all rubbish. None of that matters anymore.
Yeah.
His life was so changed, and he understood that his salvation and his being brought into this kingdom was so much more important than all the educational credentials that he had and all the cool stuff he got to wear as a Pharisee and all those other things, because now this is what was important.
Yeah. I mean, as we've talked before, he taught the law. He knew the law backwards and forwards.
Right.
And he understood that the gift of salvation was not obtained by, I don't want to say keeping the law. I don't want people to get the wrong idea. There, you know, God gave his laws and commandments and precepts because the people were to follow those, and they would be set apart, and other people, the other nations would see the glory of God through that.
Yes.
But what Paul realized is that the gift of salvation was the atonement of the blood of the Lamb, of the blood of Christ. And that was the free gift that God gave.
Yes.
You know, all the other sacrifices, you know, the burnt offering, the Levitical sacrifices, those were all for the remission of sins for the people, but they had to do it over and over and over again. And he understood that Christ did it once for all.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of course. And Paul, as Paul puts it, he becomes a bondservant of Jesus. You know, he's a slave. He was a proud guy who was educated and knew all the things, but now he becomes a bondservant. You know, the Greek word is doulos, which is almost a slave, but not quite. I mean, we don't have the concept of really a bondservant, but this is all he cares about now. So the things that were important to him before, he doesn't care anymore. Or what so-and-so thinks of him, he doesn't care anymore.
Right.
He goes to the synagogue, he preaches, they get mad, they throw him out. So he goes down the street, starts to preach to the Gentiles.
Right.
He gathers a crowd of people in a place and says, hey, I'll stay here as long as I need to stay here to preach this to you. Because this is what matters to him. And he, as someone who knew the law, and as we went through the teachings about the two covenants, he was an expert in the covenant of law. Then he becomes an expert in the covenant of grace by a direct revelation, to the point where he says, look, if you're going to try to keep the law, you know, if you insist on circumcision, then you have to keep the whole law.
Right.
If you insist on this, then you have to keep the whole law.
Right.
And now that's not what's important, because now we've entered this covenant of grace, because Jesus, the wrath of God has been poured out on Jesus of Nazareth, who's made atonement for all that and for all of us.
Right.
And this is the gospel in its purity. And this is what we've been talking about. And we're, you know, going to talk about it a little bit more today and maybe next time too. I don't know. But Paul had been so filled by all this that, you know, Peter didn't talk like he used to talk before.
Right. When you're saying the things that he had before, what he did before didn't matter. You know, even he even goes into, when we look in Ephesians, you know, he talks about that there's no longer distinction between Jew and Gentile because the Holy Spirit was poured out in full measure.
That's right.
It wasn't, well, you know, this people got 75% of the Holy Spirit, and these other people over here, these other ites got 50%, and these, you know, the Ittites, they got 25%, and then those Samaritans, well, they only got
Gentiles just get a small amount.
Yeah, Gentiles, they just, you know, half percent. It was 100%.
Yeah.
Full measure.
Yeah.
And they all saw this.
Yes.
And that, you know, they even convened and understood that, well, you know, circumcision, you don't have to be circumcised.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is an awesome song called Amazed. Ooh. It talks about God's love for us.
It sounds pretty good.
So
we're going to let you listen to this song. Remember that the gift of grace is on the internet at www.giftofgraceministries.org, and also on Facebook if you search for Gift of Grace. So you can send Stephen and I a message. If you go on the website, you can see some of the teachings. You can hear some of the older radio shows and see what you can find in there. But we're gradually adding things to it. We'll be back in just a minute.
We will be right back with the Gift of Grace right here on AM 1220, The Word.
You dance over me while I am unaware. You sing all around, but I never hear the sound. Lord, I'm amazed by you.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back. Wow, that was an awesome song.
Yeah.
This is The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. And I think, you know, talking about Saul of Tarsus, St. Paul, I think he was really amazed. Not only did he got converted on the road, and not only did he, but I think he finally then understood what all the things he had studied in the Tanakh and the Torah and the prophets, what this was all pointing to, that it was all pointing to Jesus, Yeshua as Messiah,
yeah.
and that his sacrifice was going to be the act of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was really amazed.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all he wanted to preach. We're going to get to in a minute. But that's an awesome song.
Yeah, that's an awesome song. You know, if we look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 to 21, Paul says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, for whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ.
Wow.
And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God."
Wow.
And that's really what that song talks about.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's an awesome song.
And it really kind of, that passage really helps you to grasp what the gospel is.
Yeah.
And, you know, we started to mention last week or the week before, I can't remember anymore, about how what people think the gospel is has changed so much in our time.
Yeah.
And that now it's become everybody just be nice to everybody and everybody just do the best you can and everybody just try to help each other. And it's good to be nice to everyone and it's good to help each other. And Jesus certainly teaches that we are to do that. But that has become kind of the focus now in our time of what the gospel is.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it minimizes not only the person of Jesus, but also the sacrifice on the cross. Because if we could be saved by being nice, and if we could be saved by helping others, then he would have had to die such a horrible death.
Right.
If there were 58 other ways to get to the top of the mountain, then he was mentally ill to go through what he did.
Yeah.
He could have just told us to be good.
Right.
He did tell us to be good. But when the gospel loses that, it loses a lot of its power. Because from that comes not only the transformation of your heart and mind, but then you become open to the Holy Spirit when you understand that God's love is so overwhelming and so encompassing based on the cross that you're just too amazed to do anything else, as the song says.
You know, as you're saying that, I'm thinking back to, you know, the first communities, and we talked about this the last couple weeks on the show. The first Christian communities, they gave out of love. And I think that's where real giving comes from. It comes from a heart that loves.
Sure.
And there's, you know, sometimes we have to make the choice to love. Sometimes we really need to make that choice to love. But when the love of God is poured into our hearts, as Paul's talking about, that choice becomes very easy.
Yeah.
Because our hearts are filled with God's love. And it just melts away all the other stuff that can bog down our lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're listening and you have anything going on in your life where you may be bogged down or held back by any unforgiveness or something that's happened in your life, you know, I would encourage you to pray and ask the Lord to walk back through that time with you, because Jesus is eternal. He can walk back with you in that time and ask for healing. Ask
to
heal your
take
heart
on your burden.
Yeah. And he's taken that burden on the cross.
Yes.
And, you know, he says, "Come to me, for my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And in that, he was always talking to the Pharisees about how they made the law very heavy for the people. You know, and
put more burdens on them.
More and more burdens. And so when he's saying, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light, come follow me and I will give you rest."
Yeah.
He's taking your burdens.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, we tend to think that you know, we've kind of lost the importance of that in our time. And I mm-hmm. think part of it has to do with the fact that we don't realize what our standing is before God. Because
I think you're right,
we've been kind of subjected to a culture now the last, I don't know, 25, 30 years that says everybody is okay. What you think is right, it's great. What she thinks is right is great. What he thinks is right is great. You're all right. You're all okay. So people have lost that concept that they violate God's law, they transgress his law, and that they're in sin,
mm-hmm.
and therefore are under judgment.
Right.
And when you don't understand that, you look at the cross in a totally different way. You know, the cross becomes, yes. it's kind of a decoration that you wear around your neck, and mm-hmm. you have it up on a couple of your walls at home, and right. You know, once in a while you go to a church and see a cross or a crucifix and say, oh yeah, it's a yeah. church. That's why it's there. And you really don't have the full impact of understanding that that is how your debt is paid. That is mm-hmm. how your atonement has been made. And when you realize how, what you seem like to God in God's eyes, what you are in his eyes, I should say, then you understand that the meaning of that is the center of understanding
right.
what the gospel is.
Right.
Because the gospel, which is good news in Old English, there can't be any better news than that.
Right.
There is no better news than that. So if you're trying to orient your life to, I'm just going to try to be nice to everybody and be tolerant of everything, you have a whole different worldview than if you realize that without that cross, you're still a hopeless sinner.
Right. I think when you're talking about the cross, and I know we've talked about this last week, that the cross confronts us
mm-hmm.
with where we are in our humanity. You know, when the Passion of the Christ came out,
mm-hmm.
boy, there was a lot of talk about, oh, this is a big controversy and all,
oh, yeah.
you know, all these things that, the reality of it is it does confront us with, why was this man beaten? Mm-hmm. Why was he scourged? Why was he nailed to a tree and crucified? You know, because at that point, when you see, if we were to see the crucifixion, the scourging and everything that happened today, I mean, not mm-hmm. just in a movie, but in real mm-hmm. life, as the apostles did, as the disciples did, we would fully understand why they were hiding in the upper room.
Yes.
We would fully understand the transformation that took place by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of God that was poured yes. into their hearts. And we would go out into the streets and proclaim the gospel just as boldly as they did.
Yeah. And Paul, although he didn't see the crucifixion, you know, he wasn't there with those guys mm-hmm. and, you know, was then persecuting. And he even says, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God.
Yeah.
But, you know, when he's preaching, and he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 17, he says that Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect.
Right.
So the cross is the center. You can't describe it in wisdom. You can't use some deductive kind of reasoning to explain what it is. You can't do some mathematical proof that shows that, therefore, this is salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it in human wisdom because he also says, you know, in another place, it's foolishness to those that are perishing.
Right.
Because it doesn't make any sense right. to them. But he says, I don't preach, you know, he preaches Christ and Christ crucified, but he doesn't do it with the wisdom of words.
Right.
Because the cross speaks for itself.
Right.
And if you try to do it with wisdom of words, you make the cross of no effect.
You know, and if you're preaching the gospel and you're trying to, the gospel sometimes is going to make people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And if you're worried about someone's comfort level, if you're preaching the gospel in love, that's going to take care of itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you're really worried about, oh gosh, if I say this, is that going to offend somebody? Is that going to make them feel uneasy?
Mm-hmm.
Then, then the gospel becomes, I think, ineffective in yes. that regards that you're going to start to water down the message
exactly.
of the cross.
And that's what's happened in
yeah.
our time. I mean, the cross is rarely mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, unfortunately, if you watch a lot of the Sunday morning preachers on TV, rarely do you hear a message about the cross.
Rarely.
Rarely do you hear a message about we're sinners that we have to repent and turn to the cross. But, you know, when Paul says, you know, he doesn't use human wisdom, you know, it's not about his eloquence. He was a very eloquent guy.
Right.
Very intelligent guy. But he lays all that aside and he talks about a crucified Christ in plain language. Now, you know, we're used to talking about how Jesus was crucified and, you know, two guys were crucified next to him. And, you know, we kind of know we know the whole story. And when it's Easter season, you know, Holy Week, people can tell you exactly the happenings. And, you know, you've heard it so many times that, you know, you don't, until you see the passion of the Christ, you don't realize how horrible this was. But crucifixion was a horrible thing that was done to criminals. It was done to low lives. I mean, it was a horrible thing. A Roman citizen was not allowed to be crucified. It was for slaves, for criminals who were not Roman. Roman criminals couldn't be crucified. And it was such a shameful, horrible thing, and people didn't talk about it. I mean, you can imagine people in Rome and in Greece and all these other places where Paul went that were intelligent, economically well-off people. They controlled, you know, the Romans controlled the whole known world at the time. So intelligent, noble people in Rome, they didn't talk about crucified people. I mean, that was not something you talked about at the country club or, you know, at the party at your house. So here comes this guy, Paul, and here comes this guy, Peter, and all they're talking about is this guy who was crucified.
Yeah.
And their first impression probably was, get away from me. I don't want to hear this.
Yeah.
But that's all that Paul wanted to preach because that was the power. It has more power than all of his words, all of his wisdom, all of his eloquence, all the languages that he knew, all the teachings he had done, all the teachings he had learned. And that's all he wanted to talk about.
Yeah, it had more power than all the knowledge he had.
Yes. And I think that in our time, we have to get back to that. We have to get back to the understanding of that as the center of Christianity, as the center of the good news. And not have a watered-down gospel.
Right.
I mean, are we going to go out and die for a gospel that says, well, just be nice to everybody? I'm not going to.
No.
But this is the center of it all. This is the center of the good news. And in, you know, 1 Corinthians, the next chapter in 18, and also in chapter 1, the next verse, I mean, verse 18, he says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. You know, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the age? Has not God made foolishness of the wisdom of this world? So, you know, the cross is God's wisdom in the plan to save mankind. And so when people thought that this was nonsense, that it had absolutely no common sense to it. See, the knowledge and the wisdom of human beings is not the point.
Right.
That's not the point of salvation. Now, we're trying to get back to the knowledge and wisdom of human beings as being Christianity, but it isn't.
Right.
And we talked about how, you know, if those original believers would have sat down and formed committees and had meetings a couple of times a week to deciding where they were going to go to evangelize and who was going to say what and who was going to write what, they'd still be there trying to do it 2,000 years later.
They would have gotten to the wonderful world of administration.
That's right. But as it is, they were docile to the Spirit. The Spirit led them where he wanted them to go because they understood that they were empowered by that.
Right. Right. They did not get into all this bureaucracy and stuff like that.
Yeah. In fact, he wrote, it's pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds silly, yeah, but that's how we're being saved.
Exactly.
Well, I hear another cool song.
This is called Everlasting God.
Oh, this is an awesome song. Whew, let's listen. Remember, www.giftofgraceministries.org and Facebook. We'll be right back in a minute.
We will be right back with the Gift of Grace right here on AM 1220, The Word. Listening to the Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to the Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Wow, last segment already. And we're talking, I guess we can't help talking about Paul, St. Paul. Can't wait to take him to Starbucks when we get to heaven.
Yeah, really.
Now, Peter, I'm going to try to avoid because we've said some.
Yeah, he might have to have a word with you.
But you know, he's
outside the gates.
Yeah, yeah. So when he talks about when in 1 Corinthians, when Paul's talking about it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe, he goes on to say, for the Jews request a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So this is the plan of salvation. It's a stumbling block to some people, notably the Jews, because they want to observe Torah and they want to understand God's law. Mm-hmm. Now, this is not what they were expecting.
No.
The Greeks were, of course, pagans and polytheists. They had a lot of great philosophers and a lot of great learning. So to them, this was foolishness. Mm-hmm. This doesn't make any sense to us. But to both of them, it's the power of salvation. Right. Even though neither of them could understand it, even though it didn't make sense to either one of them, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, both of them that came to this knowledge were being saved.
Yeah.
So Paul says, no flesh is going to glory about this. This is not about them. This is not something that their flesh is going to come to an understanding of. But when the Spirit enlightens their mind to this, then they get it.
Yeah.
And this is the power of the ministry, and it's reaching people, and it's evangelizing people. And they're doing it through the power of the Spirit.
Yeah, as you're talking, you know, what's coming to me is from Isaiah chapter 55, mm-hmm. and this is in verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call him while he is near. Let the scoundrel forsake his way, and the wicked man his thoughts. Well, let him turn to the Lord for mercy, to our God who is generous and forgiving. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord.
Yeah.
As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways and my thoughts above your thoughts. For just as from the heavens the rain and snow come down and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to him who sows and bread to him who eats, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very powerful.
Yeah.
Both for Jews and Greeks.
Jews and Greeks. And, you know, as you're talking about it being a stumbling block, you know, we don't have, you know, we can put on the mind of Christ
mm-hmm.
by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But if we try and do it through our own human ability, our own, you know, our own human humanness or
exactly.
our abilities, we
exactly.
fail.
And, you know, and that leads right into 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul writes, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified.
There it is again.
Oof.
Yeah.
And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So he says, you know, I could sit here and talk all day with all my eloquent stuff that I know, but that wouldn't have persuaded you.
Yeah, and he finishes, and to go on from there, he says, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God, on yeah. God alone.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
And Paul constantly comes back to that point.
Yeah. And so that's why, you know, we alluded to earlier, it's actually from Philippians chapter 3 when, you know, he says, all that stuff I had before, all those things I knew before, I counted all as loss compared to knowing Christ. I count it all as rubbish, because now that he has this knowledge and he's preaching it to others, he is just totally blown away by this and doesn't think anything else is as important. Nothing else matters.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we think about it, all the things that we think are important in our house or in our lives or in our job or whatever it is, all that's going to be gone.
Yeah.
But the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ is not going to be gone.
Right.
Ever going to be gone.
Yeah.
And the way, you know, and Paul just writes this in just a really beautiful way. He says, well, I count it all as loss now.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's a man who's been transformed.
You know, and it goes right with, you know, Jesus was there with God from the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
He gave up his glory
mm-hmm.
to come and dwell amongst us
mm-hmm.
as a man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we understand that Jesus had two natures, one, a divine mm-hmm. nature and a human mm-hmm. nature.
100% of both.
Yeah. And he came to dwell amongst us. And, you know, in the prayer, I think in John 17, he says, you know, now glorify your son,
mm-hmm.
the glory that I had with you before mm-hmm. the world, the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so he returns him to that glory.
Yeah.
And, you know, as Paul just gives up everything for the sake of the gospel.
Yeah.
And it really, I think, emphasizes to be a minister of the gospel. If God's calling you to preach his word,
mm-hmm.
to love his people,
mm-hmm.
there are things in this world that you're going to give up.
That's right.
You're going to have to give up. And
they're not going to be important to you anymore.
They're not going to be important to you. And they'll be easy to give up.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to matter anymore.
Yeah.
The same transformation that took place in Paul, in Peter, and the other apostles and disciples, I think takes root in us as we encounter the Holy Spirit and are transformed by the love of God.
And I'll tell you, as I witness to people at my office and try to evangelize them, I often like wave my hand around and say, you see all this stuff here? It's all going to be gone someday.
Yeah.
And everybody just kind of gets really big eyes and goes, ooh, because it's not going to be gone someday. It might be later today, or it might be next week, or it might be next year, or it might be in 10 years or mm-hmm. 50 years, but it's all going to be gone.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be gone. We're not going to be gone.
Right.
So all that stuff you shouldn't attach importance to. And, you know, when we're going to do, I think we should do a show on the parable of the sower.
Yeah.
Because it's, I think, the first parable, but it's really such a cool parable because, you know, the people that get the word, but then the weeds grow up and kind of choke it off.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says that's the cares of the world and the lure of riches and, you know, all this other
stuff.
So people say, yeah, I'd really like to do that, but, you know, I got a lot of stuff I got to do at work.
Right.
My kids are driving me crazy and I got to go to the thing. And so the word gets diluted.
Yeah.
But this preaching of the basic gospel was the power of God unto salvation then, and it is now. And the way we're going to reach our culture is by preaching that word.
Exactly.
Rather than doing pop psychology that sounds Christian.
Amen, brother.
Woo! I hear Paul Wilbur again. Wow,
he's
been
back.
Great being here. The show goes really fast every week.
Yeah.
So have an awesome evening and an awesome Lord's Day tomorrow. And we'll be back with you next week.
Good night, everyone. Have an awesome Lord's Day. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.